All right, strap yourselves in. We're back again. Plenty of news around the metaverse and everything that is happening. There's lots to talk about this week. You can't get away from Roblox again, obviously. But this is an interesting experience that we wanted to bring up around the Hamilton simulator. Yes, the musical Hamilton has made its way to Roblox. Another one that they have kind of commandeered, and it's interesting for various reasons. A big story this week that's, I think, not really massively talked about unless you kind of are in this world. So we're going to explain what's going on with GTA and Rockstar, the obviously massive game publisher behind Grand Theft Auto, have acquired the people who are making these mods in the game. If you don't know what a mod is, we'll explain that, and Grand Theft Auto role play, these whole living worlds that are based on Grand Theft Auto. We'll get into it, explain it all. It's a big deal. And we are going to look also at the kind of differences of opinion or public opinion in the US and Western world versus the APAC region on the metaverse and everything that's going on, because spoilers, they are thinking about it very differently, and we are kind of playing catch up at the moment. So it's interesting as well. So we'll get into all of that. First, though, let's...
No, first, Mr. Shelby, welcome back. Look at your hair. Look at your hair. You've got full Tommy Shelby. I'm a little bit scared.
Thank you. I've had a clean cut. I will kick off. Stuff could get spicy in this episode.
I think you should turn up in a baggy cap, full three-piece suit, little pocket chain, and I think if you just walked around London like that, people would just give you whatever you wanted. I think you're looking a lot. If you had blue piercing contacts,
no,
I'm sorry if you're listening on the podcast
them.
Right now and you can't see it, but Luke is representing.
Well, thank you.
In a very fearsome way. I'm a little scared.
It's my how my avatar should be, just full Tommy Shelby in a suit. I can work with that for sure.
Yeah, my best friend Swanee, he has been in Peaky Blinders and was on set with them and said it was obviously an incredible experience. And you'd have seen with Mr. Shelby himself, but the cast is so dialed in now that they don't leave character anymore. So literally, you'll be there at the craft services table and hello, Mr. Shelby. Yeah, I'm going to go F you up. Yeah.
It's a good impression. It's very solid.
Yeah. And you know, if you wear clothing like that, you know that everywhere you go, you will be walking in slow motion with smoke going off. And that's it. That's going to be your entire life. And I think there's nothing wrong with that.
No. There is a good Peaky Blinders game, VR game, that I haven't played yet, but I really want to. I think it's on the Quest 2 store. But it looks pretty badass. It looks pretty epic, just living in that world. So that is something I need to have got on my list when I get a free moment. Talking of being wild and criminal activity, Grand Theft Auto is kind of shaping up to be one of the biggest metaverses of all. Obviously, it's a video game. It's existed in various forms for a long time. It's one of the most successful franchises of all time. I think around 250 million copies sold across all of their releases. I remember the very first top-down GTA release and feeling scared about playing it because I was quite young. And
yes!
My friend downloaded it, I think illegally, and we were kind of hiding.
PlayStation 1 must have been.
Yeah, well, it was PC, definitely, we played it on. But yeah, I'm sure it came to other stuff.
Yeah, you could, you basically, it was top down and you would run over things and you would splat them on the pavement. And the best bit was the remote control cars. You could drive these tiny little cars and get them underneath other cars and then blow them up. It was so fun. It was limited, but yeah, man, GTA 1.
Yeah, it was one of my early experiences of an open world type situation, I think, where you could go anywhere and do anything. It was of the Zelda era, obviously. Very different. And I remember the day where I realized that you could drive the train and steal the train and just drive it around the track. But it was a great time. And obviously, since then, they have had various releases. I think they brought in about $7 billion. GTA 5, which is obviously the one that has been the most recent release, but the hugest one of all, and has just existed as a game that people come back to again and again and again, was actually released in 2013.
I know, right? It's 10 years old. It's 10 years old.
Absolutely mad. And ever since then, there's been GTA 6 rumors. We know it's coming. Occasionally, there's kind of little leaks and it all looks insane. Everyone's very excited. It will obviously break all the records when it drops, I imagine. But the interesting story here is around mods and GTA RP roleplay servers. So I'll explain a little bit about this. So for anyone who isn't aware about modding modifications have had a long history in games, and it's basically where kind of the community, fans and players alter the game's content in some way, usually by tweaking the code to do it. So it might be making actual gameplay changes, different rules in the world. You see crazy stuff like people flying around, which wouldn't have been in the original release, and stuff like that. Added content, customization, or loads of other things. Modding can take all sorts of forms. We did a great episode with someone from Overwolf who are very much sort of kings of this world, if you want to check that out. And interestingly, Counter-Strike, which CSGO now, Counter-Strike Global Offensive, is one of the biggest esports titles and a massively successful, was a mod from Half-Life. So it was like a fan community modification from the game Half-Life, and then it sort of spun into this own massive empire of a separate game, which is kind of interesting. So it's not just people messing around, like modding has had a deep history in games. One of the most interesting developments for GTA is GTA roleplay servers. So these are separate online servers where players roleplay characters with really detailed backstories often, and different jobs and roles. And some are invite only as well, so you can't just sort of turn up and cause chaos in this world. They have their own kind of stories and rules, and you really sort of have to play along. So they're essentially kind of living worlds that people act in their characters. There's a guy on TikTok who is a policeman in this world and goes around just doing kind of traffic stops and asks for people's license and calls for backup and all this stuff with other people playing online. And it's amazing. He really like acts the character and as sounds like a copper when he kind of pulls you over and stuff like that. And all of this has been happening for ages. That's just something that's been going on. But the major news recently is that Rockstar, the actual publishers of actual Grand Theft Auto, actually acquired CFX.re, who are the team behind the biggest role-playing creator community. So they've basically looked at all this stuff and then they've kind of acquired the team who's been making it. Very quickly, this was kind of their statement. So they said, over the past few years, we've watched the excitement as Rockstar's creative community have found new ways to expand the possibilities of Grand Theft Auto 5 and also Red Dead Redemption 2, which happens a lot in as well, particularly through the creation of dedicated roleplay servers. As a further way to support these efforts, we recently expanded our policy of mods to officially include these made by the roleplay creative community. By partnering with the CFX.re team, we will help them find new ways to support this incredible community and improve the services they provide to their developers and players. We look forward to sharing more in the weeks and months ahead. So they've made a big statement here, basically. Loads of information there. Sorry, I've rambled, but what are your thoughts on all of this?
I think it's incredible. There's a few different examples of things like this around. I mean, we were talking about the Grand Theft Auto original games, but there was... So one of the fun things about this game is that because it's an open world, everyone can have their own different adventure within it. And there's all these weird Easter eggs. And there are people who've built entire careers on YouTube and elsewhere based on this one game, because it's endlessly extendable. And there's so many different ways of kind of, you know, traveling through it. There's this YouTuber called Calyx that my son is obsessed with. And all he does is just like, yeah, he does just like weird videos around Grand Theft Auto. And they're kind of fun. Skibbity Toilet, that has been like the viral sensation of 2023, is built using the Source Filmmaker, which is this weird kind of like animated kind of machinima style thing built on Valve to allow you to use, you know, the Valve engine, sorry, the Steam engine to create little animated films. And that's what Skibbity Toilet's using. But it's a game engine thing. So all of these... all these initiatives, all these weird mods and everything, they're an outlet for creativity for people who play the games and love the games. Because essentially everyone who plays a game thinks they can do it better. There's a big community of people who think they can do a better job than the developers. And developers obviously are in like this very narrow, focused space where they believe that they're the best custodians of what the game should be. And they have their vision. But players take ownership of the games in these really strange ways. And it's basically just a new form of fan fiction. But what's super interesting, like you said, is like, it's just the way that this game has been going for 10 years. And there's like, because it's so replayable, it can go for 10 years and it doesn't matter, because we go through these in technology, we have these cycles where we want the next best thing, and iPhones come out every year and new pieces of technology come out every year. So you have this very disposable way of looking at the world. UEFN is no different. Like, new games come out all the time. You play them, you discard them, you play them, you discard them. And it's very quickly done. GTA is just this massive behemoth where it's just been sitting there for 10 years, and it gives people time to find their own place within it. It gives people time to develop and mature in it. And that's awesome. Like, Fortnite's 5 years old now, and that just feels weird. But it's this whole model of games as a service rather than games as just like, you know, instead of treating games like movies, you treat games like social platforms. And I think that's, again, where Roblox is going. It's where Zepeto is going. It's where Fortnite, Tim Sweeney, Fab Marketplace, all these things, they're kind of designed to tap into this epic desire for people to take ownership and carve out their own piece of the story. And the more tools you give them, the better. There is one thing about that. The RP side of it is nuts. It is nuts.
It's so interesting. It's worth YouTubing just to watch what's happening, because it is.
It really is, because what you're giving the glimpse into here is commitment. It's people who are 100% in it. There's no messing about here. And the performance, it never wavers. You know, you talk about Robert De Niro staying in character, like when he's just hanging about. Or, you know, we talk about Cillian Murphy but staying in character for Peaky Blinders, although he doesn't actually do that. There's other characters. But that method acting, like these RP heroes do this, and like it becomes a badge of honor to get, you know, hauled over by this cop, because it's such an experience. And he's like RP, what's his name? The drill sergeant from Full Metal Jacket. That's what he's like. He's just like, son, I'm going to pull you over now. What are you doing? Get your hands down. He's committed. He's committed. And these people, like, they could watch Netflix. They could go to the cinema. They could, I don't know, touch grass. But no, the free time that they have, and we know how precious that is, they spend it pretending to be a video game character in a video game world for the pleasure of other people. It is nuts.
It's so interesting, isn't it? And I think, like, everybody talks about the metaverse and what it's going to become, but often I think shifts come from stuff that already exists but sort of creeps in. Like, nobody really speaks about Grand Theft Auto role players as how the metaverse will adopt. But I do think, like, when there's living communities like this, and potentially maybe there'll be some sort of economy in game. I mean, there is in GTA, but something a bit yes. more nuanced for GTA 6. It's like, this all makes sense to people already. People are already doing this. So I think this will be like quite a big way the idea of the metaverse will adopt, because people will be coming back and people play online GTA already. It's like, it's not a big jump for people who play this. So a world where you can live and stuff like that.
But you've given me a thought here, because there's something that we notice when we're working in the mocap volume and we're performing. When you've got a script and you've got a kind of an idea of what you want to do, all of that stuff feels good, and it feels nice when you nail a take and it all comes out kind of the way you want. But the stuff that always pops out and the stuff that you always love is the bit that you didn't plan. It's the stuff where it just happens accidentally, or like I take the helmet off and then the character's head just goes and falls over. Or like we accidentally drop the camera on its side and something accidental happens. And because we're recording everything, we capture those bits. And in animation, you would never do that. It's the banal stuff. Everything that we are sold about the metaverse is about a destination, an event, an experience, a thing. It's a concrete moment in time, like a concert. You go there, you buy a ticket, you're in it. But I honestly think, like, the real experience is in the banal details. It's in the weird shit that happens completely accidentally when no one was expecting it. That's what makes RP so fascinating, because it's all about that. That is the entire journey, that's the entire experience. And I think that, as you completely rightly point out, that is going to be the thing that makes the metaverse exciting and a place to come back to, because it's just the random chaos of not real, like what happens in real life is just transported into the metaverse. So unplanned, unscripted. And I think that was what was really interesting talking to Haz from Hazimation about what we were trying to do here. Is like, when we said unscripted, it's like, dude, that's a game changer. And I really feel that it is. It's once we get past the technical hurdles of delivering high resolution 3D graphics or motion capture, performance capture, all this stuff, and we can just allow chaos to happen. And I think this is why reality TV just is so compelling and continues to be, because nothing is as fresh or as engaging as real life. And even though it's scripted and managed and everything else, it just, I don't know. And I think maybe it's that, something like that.
I think so as well. Like, there's a really funny video I saw of a police guy who was like waiting on the side of the road in a car, and another car shot past him really fast. He was like, went after him like chase, and then he just pulled them over, and then just a tiny baby got out who was driving the car. And it was really funny, because it was like, he was like, what the fuck? Like, and it's just funny things like that happen.
I know, people like in a normal life, like the cop pulls you over, yes, you would pull over. But in a digital game, why would you pull over? There's no need to pull over, and yet people do.
Yeah.
I mean, and they play along. That's the thing. Everyone has voluntarily bought in to the shared hallucination that is RP. And like the weirdest things happen. It's so. I mean, like when we've been messing around with VR chat. I mean, there is no better crucible for the weird than VR chat. This random stuff turning up, and you look at it, you go. Like one of the most successful VR channels is just a guy doing interviews with people, but in VR chat, there's these really kind of sober interviews, but just in the weirdest characters and the weirdest settings. It's like this is why I find this stuff so fascinating, because I am curious though what the terms and the rules of what CFX can actually do are going to be, because I guess the situation here is, if these guys are going to do this anyway, what Rockstar want is they want a piece of that, right? They want a piece of that energy, that whatever's going on, because it's their game. They should be getting some of that back. So it makes total sense. It's just when things get acquired, they tend to have the edges rounded off them.
Yeah, I guess it's like the UGC approach of Fortnite or Roblox, of, you know, allowing creators to create stuff and that making the game even bigger and better and constant content.
But there are massive rules in Fortnite. You know that, right? The moderate, you really have to be careful about what you publish. We had a level blocked because we had basically this, which is Fraz, and we called it Fraz Beer Cola, because we mentioned the word beer, blocked instantly. Yeah, you have to be pretty careful.
Yeah, especially for GTA, where the nature of all of that is not suitable for work stuff, isn't it?
Well, it's Peggy 13, or is it Peggy 13? It was always
18 for a long time, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's 18, yeah. Right? Yeah.
The only other thing around GTA roleplay is there's a new server now called Sentient Streets, which we've talked about this a lot, not to be a broken record, but it's interesting because they've incorporated AI NPCs into GTA 5. And clearly that's going to, I would guess, like, going to have a role to play in GTA 6 for sure.
Where are you from, Emily?
Honey, I'm from the land of sunshine, donuts, and justice.
But here's it's from IGN, and this is their little brief. In addition to the AI-generated conversations, the entire story of Sentient Streets, which is a separate GTA server, revolves around artificial intelligence. A deadly cult called the Nihilists is aiming to take over GTA 5's Los Santos. The group worships an unseen AI as their god, and players take control of an officer for the Los Santos Police Department who works to stop the cult's plan. So this whole like spin-off story, but you can go and speak to people in the street, and they respond with all of that stuff that's coming. So that's just quite mad to see that is a working roleplay server. It's all coming.
You know that there is a church of artificial intelligence.
It's happened. Oh, we've got to speak to them. We've got to get them on.
Yeah, it already happened. There was a bit of a controversy around it. But yes, the church of artificial intelligence does exist. And I happen to know the person who's been tapped up to be the
get
new
them on. Let's do it.
Of this church. I think this is someone that we should get on, because this... this benevolent deity that is artificial intelligence, there's going to be a church, a cult, there's going to be a group that worships this thing, right? There has to be.
100%. Yeah, interesting. Let's do that. Yeah. Keen.
You'll go into a church, and there'll be a plinth and a velvet cushion, and there'll be like a Samsung T5, 2 terabyte hard drive just sitting there like,
I would already have all of your internet history and everything else. Terrifying.
Yes.
All right, yeah, the next story then, this is... it came from an article from Jing Daily, who is a publication, The Business of Luxury in China. It's interesting because it's essentially outlining the differences in approach and opinions on the metaverse in the Asia-Pacific region versus the West broadly. And interestingly, I did an interview with the lead AI advisor to the United Nations this week. That interview has just dropped. It was very interesting, as you would imagine. But he said something similar about cultural differences.
Do you mean that there's a whole part of the world that doesn't speak English and doesn't watch American films, and Joe Biden isn't the president of everything? Do you mean that's the case? How dare you? How dare you, Luke Frank, suggest that there might be other cultures out there that we can investigate and that have an opinion about anything?
Well, quite. But specifically, like in films, in Western films, he was talking about the idea that it's always humans versus robots and this kind of like battle of one beating the other and destruction. That's like how generally Western films are we've grown up on versus in the APAC region, it's generally a more positive view. You see a lot of the culture is working with machines, and obviously Japan is generally has very futuristic tech and stuff where there's just a different nuance there, which is kind of interesting and sort of speaks to generally that region being way more open and accepting of metaverse stuff, particularly in the music industry this article is talking about. So there's loads of stuff here, but yeah, that's kind of the overview of it. Asia accounted for 22.9% of global music market revenue in 2022, and they've had loads of kind of digitized experiences, and a lot of it is from the K-pop side as well. So BTS, massive K-pop band, Jay Chu is another big idol there. And there's also stuff happening with Sepeto, that platform as well, sort of the Korean Roblox. Yeah, generally, there's been like NFT drops that have been successful and stuff. They've got, there's a slightly different setup and they don't really have a secondary trading marketplace for NFTs. But they, and they also have been embracing virtual influencers and idols a lot as well. So there's one called Apoki in South Korea, which has got millions of followers. And we've seen all these kind of trends in the West, but they're just being embraced a lot quicker. And the whole attitude to kind of metaverse stuff is like, yeah, obviously this is coming. We're all going to embrace it. And it's become a part of the music industry pretty quickly. So it's kind of like a broad article. I'll link it below so you can have a read if you want to dive in a bit more. But I think it's an interesting point that, yeah, we have a different opinions. The hype is kind of down at the moment in the West, but it's certainly not in the APAC regions. They are going plowing straight ahead with all of
this. Yeah, there's a lot of hand-wringing about the metaverse because of Mark Zuckerberg, and it's like you kind of philosophically you have to take a stand against the Zuck, because to not do so would suggest that you are supporting him or that you are in favor of Facebook's, you know, social policies around privacy and everything else. And that's just such a reductive way of looking at it. You mentioned Zepeto there. If you haven't heard of Zepeto, I hope we're pronouncing it right, that's kind of, it's the fourth big metaverse like platform. It's pretty well adopted actually, and they've just raised 13 million from Jump Crypto and also from our investors Color Currency for their Web3 marketplace slash NFT product, which I mean, that's quite a big deal. It's not a huge sum of money, but it does show intent that they are willing to bring their audience, their user base into Web3 if they want to. I mean, again, taking a step back, if you look at the basic kind of proposition here, you can take the things that you have in the game, trade them safely with someone else, and just leave it there. That does kind of make sense. So it's not surprising they're doing this. They're building on Arbitrum, which is a layer two scaling solution for Ethereum being the largest layer one platform in the Web3 ecosystem. And, you know, could it be a big deal? I don't know. I mean, all these things depend on user excitement, I don't know. It's hard to know where this stuff is going to go, but you're absolutely not wrong. There is a different attitude towards the metaverse. And it's, you notice it's definitely Southeast Asia, but also in the Middle East, like Dubai, Sharjah is doing a massive initiative around the metaverse. Dubai, obviously, that whole region is investing at speed in AI and the metaverse as well. And obviously, it makes total sense. Basically, you know, you're in that region. There's a finite amount of time till the oil runs out. What are you going to do next? And obviously, they built tourism and they built massive kind of structures around all of that. But they're really looking towards the, like, extreme high performance digital citizenship, digital twins, all these things. I just thought they're basically buying up these H100 chips, you know, the ones that you power LLMs with. They're about 40 grand each. And Saudi Arabia's bought 3,000 of them. And the UAE's been buying a whole bunch of them. They're really going hard after this. And like, if you've got the capital, I guess you can. But definitely interesting things going on.
The race is very much on to dominate it, isn't it? I also saw they start building the line in Saudi Arabia. Did you see that?
Is it actually happening?
This is like a giant glass structure that goes through the desert where it's going to house the future of living, basically, in one big line, unsurprisingly. But it was like, there was all these kind of mocked up, like 3D hypothetical designs of it, and it has started building. So, interesting.
It looked like this kind of weird, you know, if you're going to dream up a sci-fi film about a future kind of dystopian civilization where everything is, you know, it's like that Snowpiercer, where it's a train. It's basically that, but it's just like everything in a linear fashion. So instead of growing sideways, you grow lengthways. And there are tons of efficiencies that you can achieve by doing that. But also, like, it's just like no one's ever built a city like that. It's so strange. There was another little thing in our notes here. You were just talking about the difference between the East and the West. From the Fortnite side of things, literally just a couple of days ago, A16Z signaled their hand on UEFN and the opportunity they see there. And it's particularly relevant for us because we raised money last year based on, you know, building a metaverse content studio and building, you know, performance capture expertise in order to take advantage of what was going on. And it became very clear in March that Unreal Engine and Fortnite was going to be a really good place for us to be. But from our point of view, there are a couple of ways to make that profitable. And one of them is just building third-party environments and maps for other people. And that is fine. And that's a thing, but it's not a venture scale investment. What's interesting about Josh Liu from A16Z's tweet here is that he says, game founders, go building Fortnite Creative /UEFN. Why? Firstly, UEFN's paying out big. The race just started and you're not behind. And thirdly, new founders could have a big advantage. Could. So they want to hear from founders who are building specifically in UEFN. And then the big one, we believe UEFN startups are venture backable and would like to see them apply to Speedrun, which is their accelerator for these games. For A16Z to say that, massive signal. And I sit here in a place of extreme contentment because we've already been on this since like February, March this year. We were already thinking about it. We were already planning a strategy for that. So that's good. But for them to call it venture scale, it's not just mum and pup, you know, or just little micro creators building little fun games like Flappy Birds that could take off or might be a thing. No, this is a platform in which you can deploy IP. And it's the IP that you deploy, that you own, that you can leverage, that you can make something out of, that's going to be the big winner here. And I think slowly the lights are coming on. Again, the conversation we had with Haz, the little, definitely worth listening to if that's something you're interested in.
Yeah, if you want to go deeper on that. It's so interesting, I think, looking at the public opinion of all this stuff, because we had the moment where obviously, Meta really put stuff into awareness, but it's like, you know, obviously Roblox and Fortnite and all this stuff existed before, but suddenly everybody was aware of it. Like, oh, this is a thing and a sort of new media category, and everyone got very excited and then realized, oh, it's really hard to build and it wasn't ready yet and everything else. Oh, it must be all kind of dead and it was all hype and it's gone. Like, if you just ride the kind of mainstream cycle, you're probably at a point where you're like, oh, that was all kind of nonsense and whatever. But it's like, no, under the surface, it is all right, but it's the same way everything adopts. But now you're going, okay, now we have a platform like Fortnite UEFN where you can build games and experiences. Okay, that's the next level up, and off we go in a way that's more sustainable. And these signals are really important, I think, because if you just kind of let the mainstream opinion sort of throw you one way and then back the other way, you'll miss sight of what's actually going on here. It's building underneath, and it's
well, I think that's absolutely right. There's so many different pieces to this puzzle, and the metaverse is quite difficult to wrap your head around, and the very name of it, it's kind of hinting at a universe, a thing that is inherently difficult to wrap your head around. Ultimately, I think it boils down to, does human behavior lend itself to that kind of experience? And a lot of people would say, well, I don't want to spend all my time in VR. But the story we covered earlier, RP, it really is leisure time for some people who are addicted to this stuff and really will spend the time. They'll be the early adopters. But also, like, there's so many different elements to this. Fortnite communities, and that's massive. Roblox communities, that's also massive. GTA, also massive. These massive game communities that are quite young and quite happy to just jump into this stuff because, you know, it's normal for them without any of the hand-wringing around. They're adopting it and building it out. And, like, whether you want to call it the metaverse or not, I guess the thing that ties it all together is, can value from one world travel to become value in another world? All of that is being figured out. And it's being figured out really fast as well. So, you know, this criticism of the metaverse that the interoperability part isn't there. Well, it's not yet, but it is being figured out. And with OpenUSD, which is this universal scene description format, 3D elements that you create, let's say you build a game in Fortnite in UFN, those assets can be used somewhere else. You build once, deploy everywhere. That really is, from an IP owner perspective, from a content creator perspective, that's super exciting. You know, you talk to people who make YouTube shorts or TikToks, you know, you can make a TikTok, but it can also be in, you know, an Instagram reel. It can also be a YouTube short. That same content can be on those three different platforms with basically no repurposing. Pretty cool. It opens up all sorts of possibilities, and our brains will explode because there are too many things to think about.
Absolutely. The other just final point on that is, like, it's really interesting, having grown up at a time where the internet arrived, but, you know, can remember a time before the internet, and saw a sort of, like, my parents...
Was it black and white?
No, it wasn't quite black and white.
Was it all black and white?
But, like, even just looking at my parents and the generation above them as well, like, there was this sort of line in the sand a bit where there was the people who were native to the internet and the people who weren't, and obviously it adopted and filtered through to everybody, but there's always been a kind of distinction between how my parents probably use the internet and how my generation and younger use it. Like, it's just native immediately, right? And everything's quicker, and that happened. I think this is the next version of that with the metaverse stuff. Like, there's loads of people my age who would never know Grand Theft Auto Roleplay existed, know Roblox exists and Fortnite, but think they're games that sort of people don't really play. It's this another big line in the sand where, okay, there's this whole next generation who are connected to it and a whole generation above who aren't. And it's that same thing is happening again. So it's just interesting to observe, I think, because if you're aware of that, you can go, okay, well, I can get ahead of this now. And
yeah, it's how rapidly this stuff is shared and how quickly common points of cultural interest propagate through young communities. I'll tell you something that's really disturbing. I apparently need reading glasses.
Oh.
And you know what's happened? You know what's happened? This has happened.
Oh, the moving the phone back and forth. What? Yes.
When did that happen? Like, that is not fun. It's like I Siri, can you just bump up the font size on my phone, please? Before you know it, it's like one letter on the screen, you swipe across to get to the next letter.
You get lasered now, whatever, it's fine. It's all fine.
You get lasered. Like, well, what's that going to achieve?
Yeah, don't know. All right, let's go on to the next story then. This is another one around Roblox, but interesting again. They have taken Hamilton, the obviously famous Broadway musical, into an interactive game with the Hamilton simulation. Just the fact that this has happened is another little sign that, like, imagine 12 months ago or 24 months ago, if you'd have said those words together, like, there's a Hamilton simulation Roblox, everybody would have just been like, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, what is that? How is that even possible? What is really Roblox? Whereas it's just interesting reading this article from Tech Times. Like, it's so positive, as if this is, like, always a thing that should have happened and is great. And it's, you just notice this kind of shift. But yeah, interesting one again. So they've said the Hamilton simulator plunges players into an immersive narrative where they navigate 10 distinct levels set against the backdrop of the Revolutionary War. Beginning at the docks of New York City, players assume the roles of their customizable avatars in a mission to liberate the city from British control. The game's experience is seamlessly intertwined with musical motifs and does not require a real-world monetary investment. The characters are in there. You can enhance their abilities. It's enriched by the musical numbers. The collaboration between Hamilton and Roblox showcases the musical's timeless appeal as it translates seamlessly into the digital realm. That would not have been a paragraph that people would have written 12 months ago, that it transitioned seamlessly. It would have been like, what is this? I'm skeptical. This looks like rubbish. So yeah, I just find it interesting. And it's such like a, well, Hamilton's loved, I guess, by all ages, but it's interesting. Musical theatre has obviously been on a journey over the last couple of years. And okay, then maybe there's an opportunity here to boost the IP and get people physically in theatres because their kids have played Roblox experiences first. So it's really interesting to see.
Have you played this Hamilton experience?
I actually haven't. No, I definitely should have done, but I found this quite late and we went to record.
Yeah, so. I'm curious to try it out as well. There's just not enough time in the day, is there? While we were waiting to get on, I was playing the 7-Eleven activation because they've been doing some stuff in Fortnite. You can basically track down some cars, get a code off the car, and then there's a special map. But they basically just piggybacked onto existing maps and dropped a secret car in there that you can go and find. And they're all into their kind of car behavior at the moment. I'm genuinely sort of surprised by the Hamilton thing. I guess the Hamilton is quite a progressive musical anyway, and it introduced hip hop and rapping and interesting ways of telling story into a very kind of traditional tale of American history.
Yeah, it's but like you can see the sort of the landscape developing. Like we started the conversation with like Grand Theft Auto, and it, you know, like if you want to go into a world that is crazy and outrageous and everything there, that's like a metaverse experience that you can go to, or you can go to something way more family friendly in Roblox, or you can see like the landscape starting to just slowly kind of pop up and develop, and how people will kind of pick where they want to go for what they're in, the same way you pick different content depending on what mood you're in, or you want to watch documentary or whatever. Like this is, it's all sort of beginning to emerge, which is cool to see.
Yeah, well, we've been so swallowed up by AI so through the first half of this year that has cooled off now. I for one am relieved. I cancelled my ChatGPT subscription because basically I didn't use it, and it was gone. It wasn't adding any value to my life, and I was using it for basically reorganizing data into tables, and I was like, I don't need to spend $20 a month for that. Thank you very much. And it turns out that they are, I think it costs like $700,000 a day for it to be in business, and they can't cover that cost through people subscribing to it. I'm curious to see where that's all going to go, because we've talked about this before. There is a real compute cost to anything to do with AI, and I'm wondering where that leaves everything, all these AI newsletter bros who are kind of promoting the ability to do anything, and now anybody anywhere can do anything. Thankfully, it's sort of chilled out, and there are some Midjourney wizards out there who are producing incredible work, but there is this sort of fatigue around all that stuff. It's like, yeah, kind of seen it.
Yeah, it is nice, isn't it, like that's happened. I think like I do love ChatGPT. I love it for bouncing ideas off, and I do, it is great. But yeah, $20 a month for the first time, I've been like, can I just use the free one maybe? And yeah, like that tailing off of kind of everything in your face all the time, I kind of thought it would never peak because it is so like foundational and groundbreaking everything. But yeah, we are in a moment where it's just like chilling out a bit, and then I think probably it will lull us into a false sense of security. I think next year is going to be mad.
Oh yeah, no, it's going to be underpinning a lot of stuff, but there is no doubt that it is very prone to spitting out bollocks. And if I want something to spit out bollocks, then I'll just deal with my regular humans. Thank you very much. I also wanted to just show you this because this turned up today. Last couple of days. This is an Artifact CloneX Robo Vest. It's a utility vest. It's a delightful garment. So this is one of those fidgetal things, physical, digital. This has a digital counterpart. And
could you just describe it for podcast? What this I can.
Yes, it's a windbreaker without arms. I think that's basically it. And it's got pockets in it, and it's all cyberistic and futuristic and whatever cyberistic means. I don't know. I just made that word up. But it's a very nicely made garment. It has breathable webbing interior because, as we know, Artifact bought by Nike, and there's Nike quality garment making here. The thing is, when you saw this on the NFT, this looked like a puffer jacket. It looked like a really kind of cool thing with a cool silvery shimmering surface. The reality is it's basically a purple shell suit with some pockets on it. And that's not what I signed up for. So I don't know. And Nike, Artifact actually released a few little kind of prototype concepts of their cyber shoes or their crypto kicks that have a TV screen on them, all this other stuff. And they looked kind of interesting. But it just sort of brings it home how physical products are really hard. Digital products are easy to sell, easy to get out there, and easy to replicate. And, you know, there's physical things and clothing, it's always just like it never quite lives up to the tag. I've yet to get a physical item. Actually, that's not true. These shoes that I'm wearing from Soul Savvy, Soul Savvy being like a sneakerhead website, they made a shoe during the pandemic, and it's cool. It glows in the dark. and that was an NFT. I got the physical shoe. So it's not all bad.
I'm starting to see people, this might be terrible or good, I'm not sure, but like lens stuff against their NFTs. Like there is, I forget what the watch brand was, but it's like somebody has the NFT of an expensive watch, call it a Rolex for now, just because. And obviously that's just sitting in their digital wallet so they can put it on a lending platform and raise money against it. Somebody else goes into that contract and gives them $100,000, say, and that's fine. They pay it back with interest. If they don't, then the NFT gets transferred to the other person and they can claim the physical watch, which is held in escrow. So it's like a, you know, a loan against digital products. That's not brand new, but I've seen it pop up more and more. And that is interesting because it's like, okay, you can, you know, lend your digital and physical stuff and just trade it around multiple places. Kind of.
Yeah, and NFT lending, I mean, that's probably worth another episode. It only really makes sense if you've got a high value item like a Bored Ape. But what I think basically happened was during the downturn, which has been quite protracted, let's be honest, a lot of Bored Ape holders found themselves in possession of an item whose value had dropped but still had some value. And basically using the kind of law of capital efficiency, wanted to use that high value item to take a loan out and to buy what they thought were undervalued or underpriced other items, not realizing that this market is very nasty and drops further than you can ever imagine, and bought garbage, which also then dropped because they went in way too early, and then found themselves deeply at risk because the value of the collateral dropped significantly. So Bored Ape sort of peaked at around 160 ETH when the other side drop happened. And that at the time was, it was somewhere in the region of like $460,000. Just imagine that, a JPEG that you could have picked up for a couple of $100, suddenly worth that. That's huge. And but then they took out these loans and a lot of them are at risk. So I did quite a lot of coverage on that last year and have used those platforms myself. It can be quite helpful sometimes, but yeah, the risk that you get into trouble and you can't pay back the loan because you've reinvested in stuff that was garbage. Yeah. But I mean, that's just the cycle of life. You get greedy, you get burnt. That's basically how it works.
Yeah. And it's too risky a market to be taking loans out and stuff here, probably. Yeah. Silly at times, but there we go. Good stuff. All right. Well, plenty in there. We'll be back again for another one next week, but I reckon that is the pod.
All right, Mr. Shelby, you go and do what you got to do around the bad ends of Birmingham. I'll see you
all
there.
Right, yeah, you got plenty to do in London. All right, okay, bye.
Peace.